everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the program on the other side of the glass. And together, a big welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Today is Thursday. It's the 25th of March, 2021. We are now in our 11th year, right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our radio station is 1030. It's Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means the live feed from BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. Also at BuckmasterShow.com, a very extensive archive, over 10 years of programs. And of course, the daily podcast is available for you within a couple of hours at the conclusion of the program. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Jennifer Purcell. Jennifer is the Senior Vice President and Development Director for the Alliance of Arizona Nonprofits. And I'll tell you, 1 year after the 1 year anniversary of the outbreak of the pandemic in Arizona, it's not a pretty picture when you look at the impact of COVID-19 on Arizona nonprofits. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What is the situation? How bad is it right now?
So we just released a poll from nonprofits that showed that more than $91 million has been lost in revenue over the past year due to the pandemic. And this is from a little over 400 nonprofits. So we know that that number is likely much greater since we have many more nonprofits within the state. It's pretty devastating to see that. And in addition, we also had reported that there was an additional $15 million in unexpected expenses for things like PPE and technology, et cetera. So they've been hit really, really hard this past year, just like many businesses out there.
How about giving? Is giving way off as well in the pandemic year?
Yes. Yeah. 52% of our nonprofits saw a decrease in their year-end giving. So just a few short months ago, we're really hoping with Arizona Gives Day coming up on April 6th that our community will be able to step up and give what they can to help nonprofits continue providing the services that they've been doing.
So you had over 400 nonprofits in Arizona responding to your survey. What about the front on the front of employees? Were many of them laid off or furloughed, Jennifer?
We had a number of them reporting about 25% to 50% or so of their the nonprofits said that they had to either furlough or lay off staff, which equated to a little over 2,000 job loss. In addition to that, we saw volunteer loss. As you know, nonprofits rely heavily on volunteers, and there were just, safety concerns, canceled programs, et cetera. And there was a staggering amount there, too. Over 73,000 volunteers were lost last year due to COVID. About 44% or so of those were able to create virtual opportunities. And about 39% have brought back some in-person volunteers, but there are many that are still waiting to be able to utilize volunteers once again.
Volunteers, Jennifer Purcell, are the lifeblood of many of our Arizona nonprofits. When you lose over 73,000 volunteers not coming in and volunteering their time, that's a huge percentage. I understand that's basically 8 out of 10 volunteers that were volunteering prior to the pandemic.
Correct. Yeah. So, 78% of those organizations we polled, lost volunteers. It's a huge hit. Some of them can't bring them back until we can get back to having programs, whether it be, fundraising or theater and arts, museums, those sorts of things. They rely very heavily on volunteers. And until those get back to normal, there's not that kind of engagement that can take place. So, from whether it be staffing, volunteers, or even just donations, we've seen a huge decrease. Arizona Gives is one way that we can collectively give and help a lot of these organizations get back on their feet. Azgives.org is the website that we're hoping to drive people to. You can actually give donations right now, today, through April 6th.
And Arizona Gives Day, it's an annual event, and this year it's April 6th. Is that correct?
Tuesday, April 6th is when we do a lot of our prizes. We've got incentive cash prizes for nonprofits. So if you have a particular passion or interest, you can find a nonprofit that probably fits that. We've got over 1,030 nonprofits who are participating again this year.
What percentage of your nonprofits really decided they've got to somehow change the way and rethink the way they do business? With some of them, I guess they had to go 100% virtual or adjust with social distancing. What are they thinking about moving forward, Jennifer?
A lot of the nonprofits are looking at how their offices work. So a hybrid mixture of virtual working versus in the office working. Some will potentially even reduce the amount of space they're taking up, which would obviously save dollars. Technology has played a huge role for all of us during COVID, and specifically for how programs and services are orchestrated within a nonprofit. In some cases, I think you'll see nonprofits continue to provide some of their programming and their services through virtual technology, or you'll see a hybrid approach where some of it needs to still be done in person and other components can be done online. So I think that there are definitely huge impacts that the pandemic and COVID have had in the way in which we deliver the services.
We're speaking with Jennifer Purcell. Jennifer is the Senior Vice President and Director of Development for the Alliance of Arizona Nonprofits. When you look at the particular sectors of animal welfare, of course, is one of the nonprofits, but arts is and culture, we think of many of our famous nonprofits. They were particularly hard hit because there was no one performing live performances.
Right.
Yeah. So that was that sector was probably at the top of the list of the most hard hit.
Yes, arts and culture, most definitely. The groups that participated on average lost $750,000.
Wow.
This past year. Health and Human Services, I believe, was the next one with around 600,000 average loss. When you think about Health and Human Services, they not only experienced a decrease in giving, but they also experienced an increase in demand. And so there's an imbalance there that has been created, which oftentimes happens when the economy falls. We rely heavily on the nonprofit sector, Health and Human Services specifically, to help. But oftentimes people aren't able to give as much. So that's why we're really encouraging people, if they can, to give on azgives.org. There isn't a single organization that hasn't been impacted by the pandemic.
You know, on the positive side, and we'll end this conversation, Jennifer, with some good news, you would think that there would be a lot of nonprofits who just had to close their door. But it's really positive that I guess there are very few stopped providing services completely, correct?
Correct. It was, I think, one of the silver linings that we saw in the report was we had less than 1% of organizations who had to completely shut down and stop all of the services and the programming. I mean, 1%, that just shows you the resiliency and the passion that those in the nonprofit sector have for what they're doing and what they're providing. They changed how they were managing everything in order to continue their mission. So I think that is is a bright light in all of this, in that they believe in what they're providing and what they're doing. And I hope the community can see that as well.
And again, early giving has begun now for the 9th annual fundraiser that last year generated a record-setting $6.1 million. We're talking about Arizona Gives Day. And again, Jennifer, please, the website before we go.
Arizona Gives is azgives.org. It is available year-round, but we're in the early giving stage for our large campaign, which comes to a head on April 6th.
All right, Jennifer Purcell from the Alliance of Arizona Nonprofits. Thank you, Jennifer. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Purcell, the Senior Vice President for the Alliance of Arizona Nonprofits. Now I want to talk about one of my favorite bakeries. We're still buzzing down here. The buzz in KVOI is still talking about yesterday's lovely Danish Kringle / coffee cake filled with a beautiful almond filling at from Mona's Danish Bakery. And we're very appreciative for the lovely pastry that was gifted to us by owner and chief baker Steve at Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Tom Fairbanks, I've been drooling, actually, thinking about, I'm going to have to go up there, I think, this weekend and duplicate what Steve prepared for us with that Kringle /
by your own hand, you're going to duplicate it?
I don't know, not by my own hand. I'll let Steve do the baking. I'll let the pros do the baking. And I then will take it home and cut myself a very generous slice with my Saturday morning cup of coffee.
A light, tasty, multi-layered pastry.
So good, so good. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. monasdanishbakery.com. That's the place. You can order your bakery goods or call ahead or stop in and enjoy, as they say, Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Welcoming now in studio is Rick Grinnell. Rick is the co-founder of the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. Rick, how are you today?
I'm grand, my friend. And yourself?
Doing very well. And one of the missions of the Southern Arizona Business Coalition is to spread the word that mining is important. And it a lot of people, Rick, don't want anything to do with mining. It's kind of the quintessential not in my backyard. But I guess without mining, we'd be in pretty deep, bad position.
Well, as one of our radio commercials is, we're going back to the caveman stages. You know,
I know you've been monitoring how things are going, not only with the Rosemont mine, and I was reflecting. You know, this mine was first proposed over 10 years ago. What year?
Actually, the process started in 2007.
2007, wow.
And I came as a business consultant to them.
Yeah.
To share education in 2009.
So we're 15 years into this thing.
Yeah, we're 14, we're going into the 15th year, literally. And I've been involved with it for, now I'm in the 13th year with it.
Where is that project right now?
The project currently is in the hands of the Ninth Circuit Court. There was oral arguments were presented, I believe it was February 16th. And so now the Ninth Circuit, the three-judge panel, they are going to evaluate the arguments, both written and oral. And we hope to have a decision on the validity and the appropriate issuance of the final draft by the Forest Service. And so we hope for them to affirm that decision and overturn the lower court.
What is the state of mining in Arizona right now, Rick Grinnell?
Well, it's ironic because we have two what they call in situ projects, and those are basically where it's called in situ. People think of mining, they think of the big open pit.
Oh, okay.
And things of this nature. Okay. These are basically where you inject a certain amount of solution into a closed system, mm-hmm, and then you extract copper. So it's a very closed system.
Okay.
And doesn't produce as much, but the two in situ projects are on track to do okay. The open pit operations by the current operators, they're in good shape. You got the Asarcos, Pinto Valley's got some things they want to get done this year. But you have Asarco, and you have, of course, Freeport-McMoRan, who is the biggest mining in the state of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then we have two what we call non-producers, that including Rosemont is one, and the other one is the Resolution Project up in Superior. Mm-hmm. And that is the old Magma mine. And mm-hmm, for those of us that have been around here long enough and remember, you know, the mining down in San Manuel, that was all part of the Magma region, if you will. And what has happened is the Resolution Copper, Rio Tinto and Resolution, they basically have been going through the permitting process for over 10 years as well. In 2014, there was a land exchange agreement as part of the environmental impact statement that allowed Resolution to proceed, but the land exchange would not take place until after the final approval. Well, the final approval came. And in January 15th, I believe, of this year, the land exchange was supposed to be completed. And all of a sudden, the Department of Agriculture pulled the rug from under everybody's feet, rescinding the permit. Congressman Grijalva, much to my grave disappointment, and I've known Congressman Grijalva for many years.
Yes.
We don't agree on this issue.
Right.
But I think that the shenanigans that have been going on back in D.C. with this new administration, the way things are being done, is an absolute embarrassment. Mining produces 60% in Arizona, produces 60% of the copper we need in this country. We only have three smelters. We actually could use one or two more to be really realistic, but that's probably never going to be in my lifetime.
So you're saying 60% of all copper produced in the United States comes from Arizona?
Basically comes from Arizona.
Okay.
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 And but the country as a whole still has to import another 40%, 35 to 40%. Mm-hmm. So now we're left, not to mention the critical minerals needed for phones, for military, for all the technical stuff that we need, we have to bring it in from China. And the more we give away our opportunity to employ people, I was just listening to your guest just prior to this. The mining industry is a major contributor to charities all throughout the region.
Yeah, we were talking in the first segment about nonprofits being hit so hard.
Oh, and they're going to, in the mining industry, Freeport has been a great mine contributor. The Asarco people are good. The current projects that aren't even producing are givers. Well, they've all had to suspend because they're spending billions of dollars trying to reinvest into bringing jobs back so the economy can be stronger. We're talking about a $5 billion or more a year opportunity for Arizona.
And how many jobs are people associated with mining
directly
in this state?
In this state, directly and indirectly, those are the vendors, those are the suppliers. Mm-hmm. You're probably talking about 50-plus thousand jobs.
Wow.
But you're also, and now Amazon announced they're coming to Tucson, which is great.
Yeah, the warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you go at $15 an hour, $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
People in the mining industry who have been there for a little short period of time, they earn over 40 plus benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And as they earn their way up, they feed their families, they go to school, they provide education. The history of mining in this state, and again, I have to just shake my head in absolute frustration and disappointment in our elected officials in Congress and at the Senate right now. I got to wonder, what are they thinking? Are we supposed to get this stuff?
Rick, the big knock on mining is people think it's a dirty industry and they don't want anything to do with it. What do you say to those people?
We're talking about less than 0.5% of the given area that is contributed. For instance, Rosemont. 1%. I'm sorry. You want to have all these nice things? And let's not forget the medical industry. Let's not forget the copper is being incorporated in the emergency rooms. Excuse me.
Sure.
Where I myself have had to be there more often than I care to admit. But, and not to mention the equipment, the technology. I'm getting ready to go do my senior citizen checkup.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to do a lot of this telegraph. Go take a picture and it's going to go to all these people.
Yeah, you know, I was just reflecting on what you said about so much dependency on China, and we don't really have, I mean, we don't know what the future holds with the United States and China. So, I mean, that could be kind of scary, couldn't it?
Scary isn't the word. China already owns.
I mean, what if we get into a situation either militarily or some kind of a real extended trade war and basically copper is cut off?
Well, Arizona will continue to produce copper, but let's look at this. We still have to have the smelters. We still have to craft the processes that go in place. And what's important for everybody to understand is China is looking out for China. That's what a good leadership does, but they don't want to contribute to the world economy. They don't want to. You talk about climate change. China is one of the worst abusers. You want green energy? I mean, you want all these things, but you don't want mining in Arizona? What is wrong with the people in this state? In the country.
Yeah.
I mean, you shake your head and you just want to say, I'm sorry, my grandkids get it. They understand. They understand their future is going to depend on the economy. We have to be a self-sustaining country. Our independence benefits the whole world. U.S. is the most giving country in the world, and you continually want to take away that ability by restricting people's ability to go to work and earn their living. We keep talking about getting people back to work. The mining industry has been awarded and acknowledged tremendously for their efforts in maintaining safe environments for people to continue working. That is huge. You don't see that in a lot of places.
All right, Rick. Rick Grinnell, the co-founder of the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. Where can people find out more? I know you have a very active website.
We do, and I would invite people to go to our Miracle for Mining campaign.
Miracle for Mining, okay.
And that is on our website at soazbc.com.
Or if you just Google Southern Arizona Business Council,
yes,
or Coalition, you'll get there.
And I would ask people to call your elected officials. Tell them how important this industry is, not only to the jobs, but to our society as a whole and the wealthy and the ability to maintain the freedoms that we have today.
All right, Rick Grinnell, a pleasure seeing you. Thank you very
much.
Thanks,
my friend. I appreciate you.
All right. Rick Grinnell, the co-founder of the Southern Arizona Business Coalition. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, Leah Marquez Peterson, and she is the chairwoman of the very important Arizona Corporation Commission. That's coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back, Midway Point, on our Thursday afternoon program in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, the go-to place for all your amazing plants. And a lot of people want some spring color in the backyard. I suggest a trip over to Green Things. They're in their 51st year of serving Southern Arizona with some of the most beautiful plants, trees, annuals, and more at 3384 East River Road. While you're there, stop by Zocalo Village. You'll see some amazing, can't say that word enough, I guess, antiques and furniture, much of it handcrafted from Latin America, some beautiful things as part of Zocalo Village. Here are the two websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things, open daily. You will not regret your trip over to Green Things. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. There has been a disturbing uptick in damage and looting to archaeological sites on tribal and public lands here in Arizona and the Southwest. Let's welcome now Bill Doley. Dr. Doley is the president and CEO of a nonprofit based here in Tucson known as Archaeology Southwest. Bill is also one of two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be back with you, Bill.
Thanks so much. This is a little bit disturbing. I know you've been working for years trying to keep these archaeological sites, which are indeed fragile, they're non-renewable, but they are targets right now of vandals. Give us an overview, Bill.
Well, we're in the Southwest. We have a rich diversity of tribes who still live on this landscape as our neighbors. And there's a really deep history of the traces of these tribes' stories on the landscape. And since the late 1800s, this has been an issue. But it just keeps going on public lands where people should be well-educated and respectful for places like this. We're seeing petroglyphs getting shot up. We're seeing digging of human remains. And so it's an ongoing issue. And I think the exciting thing for Archaeology Southwest for the last now 3 years is we've been able to initiate or begin and implement a new partnership with the Bureau of Indian Affairs to try to eliminate archaeological resource crime, particularly on reservations, but out onto the federal lands all across the Southwest.
And it is a big crime. There is I believe it's called the Archaeological Resource Protection Act. Bill Doley, what is that? And folks that engage in these crimes, there's some stiff penalties.
Right. I mean, there's a requirement to, if you're going to, quote, investigate an archaeological site, you need to have a permit. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a permit and you're out there just vandalizing a place, you can be subject to significant fines, even jail time, prison time. So, I think it's hard for many people to grasp the impact of damage to these special resources to tribal communities. And I think that's where this partnership with the Bureau of Indian Affairs has allowed us to do much more direct working with tribes. And our new magazine issue is allowed us to focus much more on tribal voices.
Your new magazine issue is, the magazine is Archaeology Southwest Magazine, and it comes as part of membership to Archaeology Southwest. I'm a member, and I urge everybody to get involved. There is quite a reward for any information leading to the arrest of looters. Bill, I think that reward is $10,000. That's some serious money here.
Yeah, and this has been a really positive development here. The standard federal award is only $500, which isn't very much in these days. But we've been able to partner with some other organizations to bump that reward amount up to $10,000 if someone can help lead us to someone who's and the terms looting, grave robbing, pot hunting are the kinds of terms that really kind of convey the impact of these kinds of activities that are subject to legal prosecution and maybe a source of a substantial reward.
And what are they looking for? These grave robbers, and that's what they are. They're looking for artifacts and things that they can sell. Isn't that kind of one of the bottom lines here, Bill Doley?
Yes. That's often, items are interred with the deceased, and those are, may have been private possessions. They may have been really important for the individual's future transition to a new state, and but the looters are focused on the artifacts, and oftentimes literally just cast bones and the human remains aside. So no, it can be devastating to see it happen on the landscape.
Bill, we began the show with a spokesperson who is with the Alliance of Arizona Nonprofits, and they just completed their survey. The pandemic year was not a good one for nonprofits. $91 million in losses, 52% decrease in year-end funding. The good news, I guess, is that only 1% of our nonprofits stopped providing services completely. Archaeology Southwest is a nonprofit. How were you able to navigate and keep your services, and what are some of those highlights of the services that you still provide?
Well, cooperative agreement with the Bureau of Indian Affairs was a really important thing. We were able to shift our focus onto developing a website instead of being out on the land. We have a new website called savehistory.org, and that's both a campaign to educate as well as to put out the word as to how you can report looters if you find them. We did benefit from a forgiven grant under the CARES Act. That was very helpful. So we were able to keep all of our staff working, and that the Zoom.
Yeah, did a lot of Zoom, right?
That made interaction and progress possible in 2020. It's been difficult to reach out. Tribal communities were particularly hard hit by COVID. So that's why we're very proud of this magazine issue that's coming out. We've got strong representation of tribal voices and letting them say in their own words what's important about these things that are being protected, the archaeological resources that are subject to these criminal actions. Hopis refer to archaeological sites as the footprints of their ancestors. That connection of people who are living today with these places and how they're so important for cultural continuation in the present. Being able to share those kinds of messages and get educational resources out to raise this new money for a reward. We had a lot of positive things happen in 2020. So it offset a lot of the negatives.
That's the good news. Savehistory.org. That is the website that has everything you need, right?
It's still young, and we're adding to it regularly. So, but it's a place to go to be part of this campaign. Okay. And please visit.
And your website's archaeologysouthwest.org.
Yes, you can find us there as well.
All right. Bill Doley, always a pleasure. Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill Doley, president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit based here in Tucson. Sounds like they're doing a lot of good things, including that $10,000 reward leading to the arrest of looters on tribal and public lands. So they're doing good things at Archaeology Southwest. Coming up next, what you need to know about your taxes. Michael C. Flowers is with me in studio. He's our favorite CPA. He'll be next on the Buckmaster Show lineup for this Thursday.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. So great that tourism is really starting to open up. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, they are ready to welcome you back with open arms. 3-hour drive from Tucson. Good place to start planning. SouthwestNewMexico.org. There you will find all sorts of opportunities. Do some hiking this spring in the Gila National Wilderness or visit the Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Great places in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Some nice places to stay as well. So if you're looking for a road trip, now is the time. Let's welcome now our favorite certified public accountant, CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates. Associates. Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, Bill. We got a couple hours to talk today, right?
Yeah, right. We got about 10 minutes, so let's get right at it. Give us some bottom line information about a really, the tax deadline again has been postponed. Last year it was postponed to mid-July. What were they saying now, mid-May?
Right now, the federal government has said May 17th because I believe the 15th is Saturday, so you have till Monday, May 17th. However, if you're doing estimated tax payments, the first estimated tax payment for 21 is still due April 15th. We think they're going to change that, but those of our clients that are fairly wealthy and have substantial payments, we're going to try to make sure they get those in by April 15th. And then the state of Arizona is what's called a compliance state. It usually follows whatever the federal says. Mm-hmm. But as of yet, they've not agreed that the deadline's May 17th.
So maybe it would be best for our listeners to just keep thinking about mid-April.
If you can get your stuff done by April, I would encourage you to get it done by April. Get it filed, especially if you have a refund, you'll get it quicker. If you owe taxes, there's a possibility you can file by April 15th and then mail your check by May 17th. However, there's no great interest earnings by keeping your money for an extra month anymore at 1% interest. It's hardly nominal. It is nominal.
All right, Michael C. Flowers, what do we need to know about this very strange tax year?
It's the strangest one in my career.
And
in
you've
that,
been at it for almost, 35 years?
Yeah, I'm coming up 35, 40 years,
yeah.
Bill.
And you've never seen anything like it.
And I used to know everything about taxes, and now I'm the new guy again.
It changes every day.
They just keep writing and writing and writing. And before they even read it, I think they pass it. So key things are, I guess, stimulus. Everybody's concerned about the stimulus. The stimulus is not taxable, so it doesn't get on your return from that perspective. And two stimuli, I guess, were already funded, and the third one's in the process. A number of our clients already received the third ones. I would encourage people to be a little bit patient and maybe give it till April 15th, May 15th, when the IRS is not as distracted in filing and putting together all the returns they have to do. So something to keep in mind. And then the PPP loans, which were very beneficial to businesses, the deadline for filing for a second PPP loan, which means that your business was down at least 25%, 20 compared to 19, that deadline is March 31st, so they're going to be running out of PPP money shortly unless they extend that as well.
So do you have to declare all of this? The personal,
No, the beauty of the PPP loan, and up until about December 20th, we were telling our clients, you know, make sure you keep some money aside from the PPP because you're going to have to pay taxes on it. But very, very last minute, they said, no, you're okay. What they were saying is that the PPP loan wouldn't be taxable, but you couldn't deduct the payroll expenses that were reimbursed by the PPP loan, which effectively says it is taxable. But last minute, they decided and said, you still get to deduct your expenses and you don't have to pick that up as income. However, it goes on the return in the year that the loan's actually forgiven, which for most of our clients is going to be 2021. Not many loans were forgiven by 2020, but we have a slew of clients that have had their loans forgiven. And I would encourage everybody who has a PPP loan to get in the forgiveness because there's a time limitation from when you got the money as to when you have to file for the PPP forgiveness.
So if you got a stimulus in the calendar year 2020, this is the personal stimulus that went directly, is that money have to be declared on your 2020 income tax, or is that free money?
That's free money. but all the stimuli are going to be free money. However, there's situations where maybe your income was significant in 19 and maybe it's down in 20.
Mm-hmm.
And when you file your 20 return, there's a way to request saying my income is down and I was entitled to the stimulus payments and I'd like to get those. And there's a way to do that on the tax form. But hopefully you can appreciate that the amount of paper and the amount of rules that have come out in the last 60 to 90 days is overwhelming, and the forms aren't even ready and the software's not ready, so it's a little bit of chaos.
Well, if there was ever a time to contact a certified public accountant like you and your firm, Flowers Rieger, this is the time. And there's this feeling that, oh man, I can't afford somebody like a Michael C. Flowers. What do you say to those people?
It's a little bit funny, Bill, but we sort of say you can't afford not to hire us. I mean, if you have 600, 1200, $5,000 at stake because you're married and have some children, it's time to talk to a CPA, make sure you're getting all the benefits you're entitled to. So, our fees are based upon rates and stuff, and tax returns can run $400 to $1,000 if it's a little bit complicated. So it's not a significant amount of money. And almost invariably, every client we touch, we save them more than what we charge them.
What about some of our listeners? Will you help them out at least if they want to have a question answered or something? Or
As always, Bill, as a courtesy to the show and your friendship and your loyalty to our firm, we're happy to be on the phone with somebody on a no-charge basis, and we can answer pretty general questions. If it gets specific and we have to do a deep dive or sometimes going to be incurred that substantial, then we, more than a half hour or so, then we would talk about a fee arrangement. But generally, most phone calls can be answered over the phone, and they're relatively for us, relatively straightforward answers because we're dealing with this daily and have been for the last 40 years.
Other than COVID, is it a fairly normal? Was 2020, were there any major changes people need to know about?
I think the biggest thing was the PPP loans as far as businesses were concerned.
Personal protection equipment. Yes.
Well, Paycheck Protection Program.
Oh, I got it exactly wrong. Yeah. The personal protection equipment or the masks and everything.
Right, okay, that's all the other stuff to protect.
That's the other stuff.
Oh, right, which are deductible. And the other thing was the RMDs, which for our older clients, RMD stands for Required Minimum Distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And the IRS was gave many people the ability not to force them to take money out of their retirement accounts when maybe the stock market was down. But remarkably so, I think the market's up about 75% from its fall last March, February, March, and it's just come back roaring unbelievably. And people, at least fortunately, if they have some money in the market, are doing fairly well. But we have a number of clients that have suffered dramatically with all the COVID. And we're hopeful that with the double vaccination and the little bit of the opening up of society, that we're starting to see some signs of normalcy.
You've got a nice office right over there off Grant. And if people want to find you, probably the best thing, just, they know your name, Michael C. Flowers. Even if you Google Flowers, Tucson, CPA, they'll find you.
Yeah, I've been pretty out there in my career, and
my name's fairly well
recognized.
It is.
Mike Flowers, CPA, any of that combination will get you to our website. We're happy to answer questions on the phone at our phone number, 327-8706.
And
I would take advantage of it. If you're stuck on something, give us a call. We're more than happy. And again, it's a courtesy to the Buckmaster Show and the wonderful job you do for the community, Bill.
Oh, well,
we certainly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Michael C. Flowers, Certified Public Accountants. Mike, I'll let you get back to a very busy time of year, but I do appreciate you coming by to the station today. Thanks, Mike.
I'd rather stay here than go back and do taxes, but I'll do what I got to do.
There you go. Okay, Michael C. Flowers, a certified public accountant. On behalf of Mike Flowers, I'm Bill Buckmaster, and Tom Fairbanks always doing a great job engineering, producing. Have a great afternoon, everybody.